Phil Vitale's here, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Hey, Steve.
John.
Did you hear that a tanker truck of honey crashed on a highway in Indiana and spilled honey all over the street?
I had heard that, John, yes. What did the trooper say when he pulled up?
You know what the trooper said when he pulled up, Steve?
I don't, John. What did the trooper say when he pulled up?
He said, honey, I'm going to be late.
How many entries have you had?
About 100.
And that's the one that got pulled?
Well,
I mean, it's funny.
Hi, Phil Vitale.
Hi there. I had a similar one, so...
What's yours?
Honey, I'm going to be late. I just told you why.
That's good. That's good.
Now that's I like that. The next step.
Yeah, right.
Like...
Went a little Bob Newhart on it.
Exactly.
Did you just hit the rim shot or did I?
I did.
Okay.
Did you too?
Well, I had and I thought it lagged and just played right then, so that would have been funnier.
847 texted in, my commanding officer just sent in my honey-do list.
All right.
I liked the, this gives new definition to being stuck in traffic.
That's not bad.
Very good. How about this, 573, what's the buzz? I've heard there's a sticky situation, but we'll comb through it for the answers.
I like that one, too.
Nothing to see here. Nothing.
Got it. Nice.
Be working overtime today. That was a giggle from Lauren Laffer.
I like that.
Elif?
You want me to give some, or did you want me to finish what I was saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. Either way, it's an open microphone. There's no rules here.
Holy honey on the highway, 847.
All right.
I don't get it, but I like it. Holy honey
I don't
on the
get
highway.
It either, but...
It's just a pleasant alliteration. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun.
Just a little boy wonder expression.
How about from 773? Oh, sweet.
This from 847. Backup help is making a beeline.
Ba-doom.
Oh, we could go on like this.
I need some toasted English muffins stat.
847 in parentheses. Oh, my. Finish parentheses. God save the queen. Wait, what?
Queen bee.
Oh, God save the queen. Right, I get it. Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
Well, somebody said if you say this with a British accent, this will work. Oh, beehive.
Nice.
I didn't get that when I copied and pasted
That's
that
the trouble when texted punchlines come with instructions.
Where's Pooh Bear when you need him, says 224. I've got another one. Hey, you guys want to hear my punchline?
Everybody wants to hear that punchline.
So the state trooper said, well, let's see here. Okay, here, I'll just say what I have written down. Troopers are also worried about a convoy of milk tanker trucks coming that way.
Milk and honey, land of milk and honey.
So you get it? Because then if the milk tanker trucks were coming, then they would spill too. And boy, we'd really have a lot of
milk. John, we get the flu too, and it's not funny.
Ooh.
So which one wins, guys? And let's exclude mine, because that wouldn't be fair.
All right. Reluctantly, we'll exclude that one.
Which one stood out? Lauren Lapka, the one you especially like? Elif, was one you especially like?
Mine was this gives new definition to being stuck in traffic.
Stuck in traffic is nice. I like my commander just sent in my honey-do list.
I like that one, and I like the honey, I'll be late.
Well, that's because you came up with
it. No, the short version that someone else came up with.
Actually, yours with the dangling participle was nice. Okay, well, Elif, why don't you just randomly pick one?
You're giving me that task?
I think all of these are equally good.
I've read so many.
You may take your trophies home. They're all about the same.
Not one baklava joke. Shocked.
Wow.
Shocked.
Now I have to go back and reread all of these.
No, you don't. Just pick one. Thank you, everybody,
okay,
for texting in.
Then I'm going to go with the one that I said before. Actually, I didn't say it, I don't think. It's... I just deleted it, and I have to get it back, so give me 30 seconds.
Pins and needles.
30 seconds will be 31 seconds too much for this bit. Randomly pick one or pick one you like and let us know what it is. In the meantime, hi, Phil Vitale.
Hi, John.
Restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune. How are you?
I am fine.
Mon Ami Gabi. You also like ABBA.
Yes. Well, there you go. You have one very, very old and established concept in Mon Ami Gabi, and you have one that's... barely a year and change old in
just
ABBA.
About a year old in ABBA, which is a Mediterranean restaurant owned by the Let Us Entertain You group. We were there at ABBA last night.
You got in.
Yeah, we did. Friends of ours, the Manfredinis, made reservations like years ago.
Right.
But I also found this out. If you go into that restaurant and sit at the bar, that's kind of first come, first serve.
Yes.
You can eat there.
Yes, you can.
And my understanding is that the terrace they have there, if you want to sit outside, is also first come, first serve.
Right. Very few places reserve their outdoor terraces because if it rains now, what do you do?
So, oh, yeah, right.
So they leave it. Well, they leave that as a first come, first serve. However, at ABBA, first come, first serve is 4:45. That's when people start hitting the door.
Well, so we tried it, and we just thought it was really nice.
It is. It's
really
very good.
Yeah, yeah. It's small plates, Phil.
Right, small plates, heavy Mediterranean, Middle Eastern kind of dishes, much like Ema in River North, which is the same chef, C.J. Jacobson. And the difference at ABBA, besides that splendiferous outdoor environment and the fact that it's in the heart of the Fulton Market District, is that there's a little more meat, a little more protein at ABBA.
Yeah, chicken and beef and stuff like that. It was all really good. And so this criticism I have isn't of that place, but it's of that concept, which seems to be everywhere. Any new restaurant now is small shared plate,
yep,
which comes out at the chef's convenience as well.
Yeah, that I don't like.
So I got, but I'm supposed to share my stuff, and I didn't want to share my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just that issue to deal with, I guess, when you go to a place like that.
When I'm with more than one other person, I usually they'll say, and then we have our dates. Okay, how many stuffed dates are we talking about? There are three. Because there are always three. The chefs don't like even numbers. And there's four of us. That, okay, what are we going to do? Can we get a fourth one on there? Charge me what you want, but I'm not going to take 75% out of each date and then distribute it.
And the idea of shared plates, too, to me, if you were going to share a plate with four, as we were, then there should be enough on the plate to really share with
right.
four. We're not sharing so much as we're just tasting.
Exactly.
We're nibbling. What we were nibbling and tasting was really good, but I would like more on the shared plate.
Exactly.
I was also pleased with the price. I thought new hot restaurant, blah, blah, great location, great view, all of that. All of that is great. I thought this is going to be expensive. And we had some cocktails and wine, too. I mean, we did it the way we wanted to do it. It wasn't so pricey at all. I was pleased.
I thought it was pretty fair. Not to give them any ideas, they could probably tick everything up 15% and get away with it.
I think you're totally right about ABBA, the Mediterranean restaurant in the Fulton Market District. By the way, Olive?
Yeah, my question relates to what you just said. Why don't they ever put even-numbered food items on the plate?
Well, from a design standpoint, you've heard of the rule of three, in which just arrangements of three are somehow infinitely more pleasing to the eye without even realizing it.
Yeah, but that works for pictures on a wall or chairs in a room, but they actually think about the plate decor that way?
Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely. They like to look at things in thirds and how you're going to do this. And they actually, you'd be amazed when they start putting a menu together how many different ways they'll plate a certain dish before they say, boom, that's the one I want to send out.
You reviewed a new restaurant today and gave it 3 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this.
Okay. It's Momotaro. It has been around for a while, but not since not Chef Gene Kato, who was the new chef at Momotaro, and thus my return. Gene Kato was previously at Japanese, which is a very nice restaurant. Once upon a time, he had his own place, Sumi Rubata Bar, which closed a year ago, and now he has taken the helm at Momotaro. Gene Kato does great in Japanese cuisine, but he's more on the hot prepared end rather than the sushi end, which he of course oversees. But he has his own sushi chef doing that work.
Got it.
So when I go to Momotaro and I want to have Gene's food, I'm going right for the hot dishes, particularly the Rubata dishes, which are usually skewers cooked over special charcoal on a very hot, very small grill.
They don't do that at your table, though.
There is one option. Well, you do it at your table.
Yeah, I don't want to do it at my table. I want you to do it at my table.
Exactly.
I don't want you to do it at my table. I want you to do it and bring it to my table.
Mm-hmm.
They do that, too, right?
Oh, they do that more than they do the other thing. The advantage of having it at your table is that you get to inhale more of that great charcoal smoke.
I guess you get it as hot as it can be then, too. There's no delay between it being cooked and then getting to your table and it cooling off.
No, in fact, you can burn your tongue if you feel like it.
So just tell me more about the menu and the food you had.
Okay, on the Rubata Bar, again, skewered, if you're not feeling adventurous, there are chicken meatballs, which are really, really good, some shiso marinated chicken thighs, something called a chicken oyster, which is actually the back muscle of the chicken that not that many people make anything out of. They cut up real nice. But I like what they do with things like gyutan, which not everybody goes in for because it's beef tongue. but this is Wagyu beef tongue. And when you think about Wagyu beef, you think of steaks and all the rest of it. But Wagyu is a whole cow, so what are you going to do with the rest of the cow parts? Well, this is the most tender, flavorful tongue you're ever going to
try. Does cow tongue taste like beef, or does it taste like something else?
It tastes like beef and whatever they've happened to season it with.
I would prefer them then to serve it to me and not tell me that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do list it as gyutan, but there is a, it does, but they do tell you.
Exactly. You know, this reminds me a little bit of when we were in Scotland last week and we had haggis, and I don't know how good it was because I just could not get it out of my head that I was eating haggis.
Right.
It may have been good, but my brain had already, was so scrambled about it, I had no way to, you know, sort of legitimately taste the food. I was too messed up just going in.
What about oatmeal porridgey thing inside of a sheep's bladder is bothering you?
that's pretty much it,
pretty
my friend.
Pretty much it, yeah.
And people in our group who weren't so squeamish said it was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
If you'd had it deep fried, it would have been a wholly different experience for you.
Meaning what?
Because they serve it. I've had it deep fried, like in little nuggets for an appetizer, things like that.
Yeah, so what's the... But then are you really having haggis then?
I don't know what having then.
You're just having deep... You're having fried oil on a thing, right?
Well, I mean, you take your medicine wrapped in peanut butter, you're still taking your medicine.
Okay, John, you lost me because Rodney Dangerfield in the movie Back to School. John, I hate small plates. John, ask Phil for mid-price dinner places in the Oak Brook area. We're hosting some out-of-town guests. Before you do that, let's wrap up your review of a Momotaro.
Momotaro. It's actually the name of a tomato.
It's three
Fun
stars.
Fun fact.
Which is a very good rating for you. Three stars. Is that an expensive place in the Fulton District?
You know, the hot and cold dishes, they vary in size to get back to the small plate thing. So, but the most expensive thing on the menu is probably about $26, and everything goes down to little bites. You know, your edamame will cost you $8 or whatever. So, it's like Abba in a way that, depending, you can go deep dive and try a whole bunch of stuff and really ratchet the bill up. But you can also have just a couple of three plates and a glass of wine or a glass of sake and call it a night.
Yeah, cocktails good.
Cocktails are very good. They have a very good beverage director there, and she does what was the one I liked so much? There's something called Smoky Plummy Boozy, and it's got a little mezcal in there.
Those are three of my favorite words.
My three favorite dwarfs, actually. You never hear from them. Boozy, yeah.
Boozy
they
took
didn't,
Smoky
they
and Plummy out. And
left on the director's and cutting room floor, but they really added a lot to the canon, I thought.
At 8:30 West Lake. 8:30 West Lake, Momotaro. Okay, some text for you. Let's do Phil's Flash Fry, too, shall we?
Mm.
This is where we ask you to tell us what is that one food you really like at that one place. 312-981-7200. It's not a game or a contest. We just like to know if you were recommending one food at one place, you would say, oh, you got to try the this at the that. What is it and where is it? And Phil usually has an observation about it. It's kind of fun. We'll do that next on WGN. I'm going to deround my vegetables. I'm going to chop down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. This is Phil's Flash Fry. I love you. So what do you love? What do you want Phil to comment on? John, in DeKalb, you have to have the fried Cajun potato salad at Fatty's. Okay, I don't know what I just said, but that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? A fried Cajun potato salad at Fatty's.
Wow.
Put that on your list of to-do, okay?
Yes.
John, we are hosting people from out of town in the Oak Brook area. Could you give us some mid-price dinner places in the Oak Brook area? What do you like there?
In the mall, I like Antico Posto quite a bit. That's nice rustic Italian, good wine list, good for some bites and appetizers.
And the oil and garlic they give you or whatever that is for your bread when you walk in is to die for.
Yeah,
oh, my God, is that good.
It's really good stuff. We mentioned off the air Redstone Grill, which isn't that far away.
Redstone's nice, too.
They do a nice job. And then further down, there's a place right off 31st Street called Parker's Ocean Grill, which is a seafood place, surprising. And it's a nice place. It's... They have Neapolitan pizzas. I mean, they actually went and got certified and all the rest of
that
stuff.
Yeah.
So they take it pretty seriously, and of course, seafood.
John, the fried chicken tenders with the house dipping sauce and the nachos at Village Tavern in Schaumburg or Carroll Stream are to die for. Okay? That's nice. Thank you for that. And Patrick, you're on WGN. What did you want Phil to comment on? You're on the air.
John, have you ever tried the calamari at Gatto's restaurant?
Gatto's or G-A?
Yeah, Gatto's. Are we talking about the one in Downers Grove?
Yeah, there's one in Downers Grove. There's one in Tinley, Orland, and New Lenox as well.
Ah, I didn't know that. I have, but it was a long, long time ago. I'm usually more a fan of grilled calamari than fried calamari, honestly. But they have a lot of pastas on the menu. I tend to gravitate toward that.
Thank you for the call. Not bad, though, huh?
Mm.
John, have you ever been to Ottimo's in Orland Park? Ottimo's in Orland Park.
Yes, that's Patrick Concannon's place. It's been there for about, whew, got to be there at least 5 years now. It's a very good restaurant. It's right next to this little Mexican place that's also Patrick's. Patrick's family owns Don Juan's up in Edison Park.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
Fair enough. Orland Park, that's Ottimo's. Just some of the places that you all are texting in about. Ella said, hey, we're out of time.
Oh, no.
We're out of time, Phil Vitale.
Uh-huh.
If you come up with any better punchlines for the honey spill on the highway in Indiana, feel free to text them in.
All right. Traffic's a little sticky on the Borman. No.
Elif, by the way, do we have a winner for our Malnati's pizza? Who came up with the best one?
It was the person who said, police are looking for a bear with no pants.
Yeah, all right. That was the best one, I think.
That's the everybody's a winner, but that one gets the pizza.
Yeah. Can't beat a good poo joke.
Phil, you can leave now. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.